Welcome into the Balanced Working Moms podcast. This is Rena Musha, and I'm so glad you're here. If you're a busy mom like me who's juggling all the things, you're absolutely in the right place. In this podcast, you're going to learn secrets on how to live your life so you feel so much more balanced. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad to have you listening. It's an honor to have you here. Truly an honor. And I want to ask you, how are you doing? I'm doing well. Recently, I've been working on improving my sleep, and I have so much more energy. I feel so much more lively and, I don't know, just happier than usual. It's been great, but it has been a process. If you're interested, if you also need help with your sleep, let me know and I'll do an episode. I'll share what I've been doing, things that are really helping. So let me know. And I'm really excited for today's topic. And I've been wanting to talk about it for a while because what we're going to talk about today is we're going to be talking about teens and we're going to be busting through some myths. Some common myths about teens. And if you have teens, it's very interesting. We were just talking about sleep. I'm wondering if it's this way in your family too, but are they very chatty just before bed? What is it about that? The whole afternoon, my teens, they come home from school. I ask them how their day went. They don't want to talk. And then, just when it's time for me to go to bed, yep, that's when the gates open. I'm curious if it's the same with your teens. It's interesting because we all think that when we have teens, we'll get more sleep because teens are famous for sleeping in. But I just want to warn you, don't hold your breath, though it's really a blessing. I'm saying this as a joke. But I love hearing what my kids have to say. So even if it's bedtime and I go to sleep late, it is truly, truly a blessing. So I try to just absorb the goodness no matter what time it is. So before we dive deep into this episode, I just want to let you know that even if you don't have teens yet, even if your kids are younger, I feel like this episode is very important, maybe even more so if you don't have teens, because you're going to hear a lot of helpful things that you can do now with your parenting and hopefully avoid some future problems. Very, very important. And as we start this episode, I want to confess to you that I have a trigger. Because anytime somebody says something not nice about teens, and this happens often, teens don't exactly have a very good reputation, but I get upset. It's like a trigger of mine. And this has actually been going on since my kids were really little in diapers. You know, people like to warn you. I don't know what it is when you're pregnant, whatever stage you're at. They like to warn you that the next stage is going to be so much worse. So for many years, people have been warning me, teens, that's the worst. And I felt like I couldn't really talk about this topic until my kids were actually teens, because then it wouldn't be fair. You know, I have my opinion, but until I'm actually the parent of teens, I didn't think I should exactly be sharing it. But here's what I did do. I decided to be proactive and I really wanted to address the problem of teens before it came up. And this is why I really want you to listen up, even if you don't have kids in that age yet, even if your kids are younger. Because you know this, despite my last episode telling you not to be proactive, but the best thing to do when you have kids is to catch things early. Be proactive. So what I did was I actually hired a coach. And my first coach ever, who actually made me interested in this whole thing that I'm doing, who introduced me to coaching and who kind of started me on this whole path, she was actually a parenting coach. And I hired her because she had the exact same beliefs as me. Don't you love it when that happens? When you believe something and then you hire a coach or a mentor and they have the same belief? So good, so healthy. So here's her belief. Her kids were also kind of younger too. They were older than mine, but I don't think they were teens yet. But her belief is that if you raise kids from the start with respect, with empathy, with compassion, she believed it's going to prevent a lot of the teenage struggles that you see a lot, that you see in the media, that people talk about. And I suspect this episode is not your first one. It may be. If you're new, welcome. Your world is about to explode. So I'm glad you're here. But if this is not your first episode, you know that with every topic that we talk about, it doesn't matter what it is, every topic, we always infuse gentleness, compassion. We're compassionate to ourselves. We're compassionate to our partners, our kids, of course, to you, to my beautiful listener who's listening right now to this podcast. I think that's the basics of what we do. It's like the core. Everything starts with this compassion, this love, respect. So this skill that we teach and that we learn, this skill is going to be especially important as we talk about teens. Because we're going to talk about some myths about teens. And I personally think that a lot of the problems come about because people think there should be a problem. You know, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. People tell you teens are hard, teens are the worst. And of course, that ends up happening because that's what you're seeing. Those are the lenses that you're looking through. But what happens? What happens when instead we look through the lens of compassion, of empathy, gentleness, respect? Maybe some of these problems that everybody foretells for our future, maybe they won't crop up. And here's the cool thing. Here's the cool thing. I know that as a listener, you already have these skills. You already have the skill of compassion and empathy because you're a listener. Only people who have these skills or want to develop these skills come to my podcast. They feel drawn to it because, you know, like goes with like. And of course, I haven't met all my listeners. There are thousands, but I have met a good chunk of them, maybe in the Facebook community, sometimes, you know, clients, whatever it is. And I have not yet met a listener who doesn't infuse these values in themselves. Everybody I talk to, so full of these beautiful virtues. So with that in mind, knowing that you already have the skills and that teens don't necessarily have to be this bad reputation that they're made out to be, let's now talk about some specific myths. And you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see why that was my preface. So let's dive in. Myth number one, the first myth, I started with a big one, a doozy. The first myth is that teens are moody. Teens are moody. I'll just pause a minute. What do you think? What are your thoughts on this? Are teens moody? Interesting, right? I'm going to share something with you, and I'm going to share that I am very moody. Did you know that about me? I'm very moody. Some mornings I wake up, I am so cranky. You don't even want to be around me. I don't even talk. I don't even say a word because there's all this negative chatter in my brain. Thank God I meditate, so this goes away. But do you think teens, when they wake up and they may say things that aren't so nice, do you think they're more moody than I am? I'm using me because I don't want to talk about you in case you're not moody. But if I had to swear to this question in a court of law, I couldn't. I don't know who's more moody. Here's the difference. Maybe the teens express it more. They may express it more, but if you're like me, you may have some thoughts. Do you have thoughts in your head? And these thoughts are very moody thoughts. But here's a difference. I am older. I'm older than my teens. I have a lot more years of experience and learning on how to control my moods and to be careful what I say when I'm in a bad mood. So to say that the teens are more moody than me, I don't think that's accurate because I have ways. I purposely calm myself down. I mentioned the meditation. I walk. You all know all these things about me. But one of the reasons I do these things is because I want my kids to learn it. I want them to learn these skills. And, you know, they may roll their eyes at it. They roll their eyes at the meditation. You know, whatever crazy thing they say I'm doing. But they're watching and they're learning. And I know it's going to take them time. You know, I'm going to tell you about a terrible day that I had last week because, you know, I told you I'm working on my sleep, but there's a reason I am. You know, sometimes my sleep is really not good. And last week I woke up and I was really tired. I think I was up for hours in the night and I had a huge to-do list. You know, this is so normal, right? I had a huge to-do list. I didn't know where to start. And in my brain, I was complaining so hard. I was angry at my family. I thought if they helped me more, I wouldn't have to do all this. I was stressed because we were having company over. I had to cook. I had to clean. In my mind, I had to arrange everything. I was a bitter mess and I couldn't even sleep at night because I was so upset and stressed out. And compare this to your kids. They're going through their hardships also. Maybe your kid had a test that day and didn't do so well. And then to add insult to injury, maybe one of the kid's friends was rude to him or her, right? And then maybe to just make matters worse, things didn't go well on the bus and a younger kid said something very rude to your daughter. I could go on and on. All this could happen in one day. And think of the homework your kid has. Maybe they got a huge essay to write and they hate doing essays. So they're not in the best mood either. Things are hard. So what is the difference? You tell me. Is your son more moody than you are or than I am? Here's what I think. Oh, I'm getting emotional. I think your child had a really tough day and needs the same thing as you need. They don't need to be yelled at. They don't need to be labeled. What they need is empathy, understanding, love. And maybe once they get all this, maybe once your child calms down, maybe when he or she's calmer, then you can even offer to help with the homework, right? I'm saying child, but I mean teen, okay? I should be saying teen. But the poor kid, right? The poor kid, he has a lot on him. That's why he's in a bad mood. And like we said, your teen may not have the skills to express himself, right? We have the skills we've been developing for many, many years, but your teen may not know how to let it out. So what may it look like? It could look like yelling. It could look like not wanting to talk. Maybe it looks like not wanting to talk till bedtime. I'm going to tell you a hard truth here. I'm going to tell you a hard truth, at least for me, because maybe you're doing the same. Maybe you're also in a bad mood, but maybe you're more skillful at holding it in and not showing it. Or I don't know, maybe you do let it out. I don't know. But it doesn't mean that anything has gone wrong. It doesn't mean that anybody is more moody than someone else. It just means that you need to be heard and understood. There's the compassion. That's why I started with that. Because just like with you, when people and kids and teens, when they're allowed to feel upset, you know, it's okay that you're upset because you had a rough day. That's when all that upsetness can dissipate. That's when it goes away. But when you tell them you shouldn't be upset, you're just a moody teen, you know, that essay is 1 month overdue, get to it. That's when the problems start. That's when the problems start. And that's when people say, oh, the kid is moody. Me, I say the poor kid who wouldn't be in a bad mood with all that going on. Oh, getting emotional again. But do you see the compassion piece is so important? So this actually leads right into the next myth, right into the next myth. And myth number two is that teens fight with their parents. Teens fight with their parents. And I'm going to tell you right now that it takes two to tango. And sometimes I'm not at my best. Sometimes I do get in it with my teen. Like last night, okay? Okay, I'll confess what happened. Last night, my kid was really upset about something I had done. She was so angry with me. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to tell you that truthfully, I felt like I hadn't done anything wrong. I would tell you the situation, but I feel like it would violate her privacy, and I don't want to do that. So please excuse the lack of details, but I'm just going to tell you, if you knew the details, I think 99% chance you would side with me. You would say, okay, you know, this is unreasonable. As the parent, I hadn't done anything wrong, but it wasn't over anything important. It was so trivial. It wasn't about her safety. It didn't affect anything that actually mattered. So do you know what I did? I empathized with her. I understood that what had happened was annoying to her. You know, even though I didn't feel like I did anything wrong, I didn't have to say that part of it. I just empathized with her because it affected her, right? She felt upset. I didn't justify my actions. I didn't say, oh, here's why you shouldn't be upset. I did the right thing. I didn't fight. I didn't try to punish her or even have her see it my way because it was such a trivial thing. So trivial. Pick your battles, right? This was one definitely not worth fighting over. But she was upset. She was upset. But what was more important to me is that she should feel heard and important, and that what mattered to her matters to me. That's what was on the table here, not whatever the issue it was. That wasn't important. And it's so funny even talking about it because it was such a small issue, but to her, it wasn't small. And we actually spent about half hour talking, and she just kept for half hour telling me how upset she was, how upset. And I listened and I had compassion and I didn't justify myself. I didn't fight with her. And then what happened after half hour? She gets it all out. She gets it all out. And then she says to me, "Hey, I have an idea. Will you come downstairs with me?" She says it in a very upbeat way. Beforehand, it was not upbeat, let me tell you, not upbeat at all. But she asked me to come downstairs, and then she starts working on an art project. And she wants me with her. She's really enjoying the art project. She's like a different person. She's in a great mood. Her negativity was gone. Why? Because she felt heard and respected and like I care. Like I care. And this situation, it actually made our relationship better than before, better than it had been, because I did not fight with her. No need to fight. And she went to bed. She felt happy, loved. For me, I'm just going to be honest, I went to bed a little cranky, tired, because being like that is not easy. It's not easy holding your stuff together when somebody's very upset and you're purposely not fighting, you're not arguing with them. That took a lot of discipline, but it was so worth it. It was so worth it. Wouldn't I want my husband to talk to me that way? Let's say I was upset about something and he thought it was nothing. I would want him to treat me with respect and not tell me, "Oh, it's such a small thing. Don't be upset." Right? Like, that is not good. Nobody wants to be talked to like that. So yes, teens can fight just like anybody else fights. But the question is, will you engage? Will you engage? And sometimes you may. Sometimes you may if it's over something important. But if you're calm and in a place where you're able to stay calm and not engage in the fighting, instead, will you maintain your calmness and prevent the fight? See? Takes two to tango. Two to tango. All right. Let's go to myth number three, the third myth. And myth number three is that teens are irresponsible. Irresponsible. Maybe they don't do their homework. They don't do their laundry. They don't do what they're supposed to do when we feel like they are old enough to be doing this stuff, right? Like they can really be doing more than what they're doing. So I want to dispel this myth. And I didn't choose any easy myths to start with. I may want to do another episode on this. Tell me what you think, if this is helpful. But I started with the three kind of biggest myths. And this is one that I actually struggle a lot with, feeling like teens are irresponsible. And I'll tell you why. It's because I grew up in very difficult circumstances. Some of you listening have heard all the episodes and you know about my childhood. And just to put it very simply, I had a lot of responsibility from a very young age. You know, it was so interesting because recently I saw the old headmaster of my school. He's still working there. It's hysterical. And he told me that when he saw me, what he said about me was, you know, to the principal was he told her that I was an old soul. I was an old soul. So even, you know, in ninth grade when he met me, I had this maturity that didn't match my years. So that's why I'm telling you, that's why we're doing this myth, because it especially is hard for me, especially hard for me. So I'm not the only one, because even in this day of helicopter parenting, it's hard not to join the movement. Even though I grew up like I did, I still find there's a little helicopter in me, you know, which is weird because I didn't grow up like that. But sometimes it could be hard to let things go. And even so, even if you see yourself as a parent who does a lot for your kids, a lot of us feel like teens can still be very irresponsible. But here's what I see as the truth. And the truth is that teens have a lot of stress. And I don't even know how to list all the stresses that they have. And the truth is that they have stresses that we never had to deal with. Thank God. Thank God we never had to deal with them because they're not easy. For example, I never had to worry about turning in an assignment on Google Classroom and making sure it got done and submitted by 5 p.m. just to make sure there was the right timestamp. That wasn't even in my world. There was no Google Classroom. I never had to worry about the fact that I was the only one in my class without a phone. Yes, you heard that right. My teen still does not have a phone. That's a whole nother discussion, maybe a whole nother episode. But we never worried about that, right? I also didn't have to worry about the price of college being what it is today. I mean, the price of college today is terrifying. Terrifying. When I went to college, I was able to pay it working a minimum wage job. That is not the case anymore. Now, I did have to deal with bullying. That's not new. I had to deal with the stress of tests. That was hard. But the teens are dealing with that too, on top of all types of new stressors. And I don't think the examples I'm giving you sound so stressful, but use your imagination. My point is that they have a whole different type of stress than what we have, in addition to the same stress that we had. So I think it's a lot. And when I think about that thought, you know, that teens are irresponsible, instead I try to remember how much they're going through. You know, it is a lot in our technology age to be in school, be on the Google Classroom. I mean, it's just so much going on. I don't even want to go into cyberbullying and all that, but just use your imagination. So I think of all the ways that my kids are stressed, and then I try to remember that they are responsible. They are responsible. We've talked in other episodes about catching people doing things right, catching them doing things that are right. Let me give you a list for my specific teens, okay? For my teens, most days I don't have to ask them to do their homework. They actually sit down and do it, okay? That's amazing, right? So here I'm griping because maybe they don't finish or whatever, but look at the good. My kids wash their own clothes. Yeah, maybe they never bother to fold them, but at this point, they generally always have clean clothes to wear, and I don't have to remind them. That's big. My kids also make their own lunches. So when I think objectively, do I wish they did more? Could there be so much more that they could do and all this stuff? Of course, or I wouldn't be doing this episode. But that'll come. I need to trust. That'll come. And instead of focusing on the things they don't do, what if I focus on the things they already do and watch that grow? And I'm going to ask you to make your own list. Make your list of things that your teens do really well. Even if it's something that's just teeny tiny, what does your child do that's responsible? And don't tell me that you can't think of anything. Because I bet you can. I bet you can think of something. Even if it's so small, like maybe they don't miss the bus in the morning. Maybe they're great at actually getting to the bus stop on time. maybe 30 seconds to spare or when the bus is already waiting, but they make the bus. You know, notice what they're doing right and how they're responsible already, and then watch it grow. Watch it grow. So what do you think? Are you with me on these myths? Do you have a new way of looking at your teens? Let me know what you think about this episode. Our first time talking about teens. Very exciting for me. And I just want to throw out that I'm really proud of you, because no matter how old or how young your kids are, raising kids is not easy. The hardest thing we've ever done. And we grow so much in the process. And here's what I know about you. Just by the fact that you're listening to this podcast, it shows me that you care. You care about being a good mom, a good employee, as good as you can be. And I want to remind you, you got this. You can do this. You can be an awesome mom to teens. And I have one more thing to remind you. Don't listen to the negative people. The negative people who tell you how hard it is to have teens, don't listen to them. Instead, enjoy your teens. They're so much fun. They're so lovely as, you know, they develop their personality. I love it. I love seeing my kids really become the person that they are, that they were meant to be. It's just so beautiful. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you can use a little more balance, don't forget that I have a free class on how to create more balance in your life. Definitely sign up for it right away. You're going to learn some great tips. Now go enjoy your teens. Go enjoy them. And if they let you, give them an extra hug today. I'll talk to you next time.